morning.
Morning.
This morning I'll be reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we'd like you to know that you're an honored guest. I'd also like you to know that I'm not our normal preacher. He's preaching in Hoover this morning. So please bear with me. I'll try to do a good job. You know, oftentimes choosing a topic to talk about or to preach on can be difficult. This topic actually came to me during one of Gary's sermons. As I was putting my notes together, trying to put in a sequence that would make sense, I thought I would probably be better off just to kind of put in a perspective that hopefully everyone can relate to. Personally, me, I've always been kind of an independent person ever since I was a little bitty kid. I wanted to do things my way. I wanted to do things like I like to do them. I can see that by the look on my wife's face, I'm kind of haven't grown out of that too much. But one surefire way to get me to do something was tell me I couldn't do it. Tell me it's impossible for me to do. That motivated me. And it served me well whenever I played sports and whenever I was in the Marine Corps. Often I accepted challenges that would just be to prove someone wrong. That also got me in trouble a time or two. A lot at home. But I guess you can say I'm kind of hard-headed. These qualities seem to be okay in our day and age and in our world. I mean, often you hear phrases like, I had to pull myself up by my bootstraps. Or as long as I've got me, that's all I need. Now, there are a multitude of motivational books and speakers that they follow this very theme. We hear this from athletes, politicians, and various leaders that we may have. So here's the thought. As Christians, is it okay to have these outlooks or attitudes when dealing with spiritual matters? I was reminded of a song that was recorded in 1969, and it was made famous by Frank Sinatra, and it bears the same title as today's sermon, I Did It My Way. And I want to read those lyrics. And now the end is near, and I face that final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and much more, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much, much more, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and I spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall, and I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. Not to say the things that he truly feels, and not the words of someone who kneels. Let the record show I took all the blows and did it my way. Thought to myself, wow, this was 1969. You know, the world's changed a lot since then, but have people really changed that much? In the open of the song, song recognizes that the end is here, and so he states his case that he lived a life that was full. Friends, I want to ask everybody, is that truly possible without knowing Jesus. We can certainly live and experience life and a lot of things that this world has to offer, but what's the point? Mark 8:36, Jesus said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" There's another verse in the song that says, "Regrets I've had a few, but then again too few to mention." While he recognizes regrets, there's no repentance for the things that he regrets. And I guess you could make the case that what he regrets is not sinful. But if it's not sinful, why regret it? Then the author of the song acknowledges times where he bit off more than he could chew. I know that feeling. And he says, "I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and stood tall. I did it my way. For what is a man who, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not. Not to say things that he truly feels and not the words of someone who kneels." Can you hear selfish pride in these lyrics? There have been nations of men that have fallen many times throughout the history of this world for pridefulness that's written in this very song. Now, we live in a society and we live in a time where this point of view is celebrated. Often we're told how great we are. Brother Gary, he often refers to it as me-isms. And it's hard to argue with that analogy. Man is pretty self-serving and pretty self-absorbed. Many motivational speakers, company leaders, songwriters, various self-absorbed individuals promote the ideas that we're all we need. While this thought can obviously be motivating and it makes us feel good, we must ask, is it true? Are we all that we need? Is it okay to do it my way? There's a short answer to these questions, and we probably know the answers to both. But I'd like to take some time and share with you some examples of what we have in the Bible that everyone, and then everyone can draw your own conclusion. In Genesis 4, verses 3 through 7, we can read an account that Cain made a sacrifice to God that was not acceptable. He made a sacrifice his way, and it was rejected by God. Even though we don't know what the instructions are that Cain and Abel received from God, they're not revealed to us, we do know that he gave them instructions, and Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable because he didn't adhere to those instructions. Again, we can see in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, we can read the account of Nadab and Abihu. Bobby was reading forward of this morning a little bit. He talked about it in our Bible study class. But they offered strange fire before the Lord, fire which he had not commanded them. They decided to worship God their way with the attitude that it was good enough. I mean, fire is fire, right? Just as long as they worshiped God, their irreverence angered God, and they were struck dead for it. Now, I find it telling that in both of these examples, the sacrifice of Cain and Nadab and Abihu, they were examples of worshiping God that was unacceptable to him. And we live in a world that says it's okay to worship however we want to, whatever makes us happy, whatever makes us feel good. As long as we're worshiping God, he doesn't care how you do it or where. He knows your heart, so it's all good. But is that what the Bible says? I share with you Numbers 20 and verse 11. We can read the account of Moses being told by God what to do to bring forth water out of the rock. Now, this was the second time that he had been instructed on bringing water out of a rock. The first time he was told to strike it. This time he was told to speak to it. And instead of doing it God's way, Moses did it his way, and he struck the rock twice. And by doing so, he and Aaron failed to treat God as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. As a result, neither Moses nor Aaron were allowed to enter the promised land. Now, we can sympathize with Moses. I mean, he was dealing with a bunch of difficult folks that were hard-headed and impatient. So we can see how he would probably be angry by them and pretty fed up with them. However, regardless of how we may be able to relate and identify with his attitude, his actions were sinful in the sight of God, and as a result, he didn't allow him or Aaron to enter the promised land. In 2 Samuel 6, 6 through 7, we see that Uzzah responded to the Ark of the Covenant falling, or moving like it was going to fall off the ox cart in which it was being transported. He simply stuck out his hand and he touched the cart to keep it from falling. Now, no doubt his intentions were good. No one would want to see the Ark of the Covenant fall and be damaged, but God said, don't touch it. As a note, if the Ark had been transported as God instructed instead of it on an ox cart, there wouldn't have been a possibility for it to fall in the first place. By choosing to do things their way, we see the result. Uzzah was struck dead. 2 Samuel 11, we read a story about King David, who tried to cover up his sin of adultery, and when that failed, he conspired to commit murder. In doing so, he risked his throne, his country, and the wrath of God, but he did things his way, and by doing so, he committed evil in the sight of God. In Matthew 19, 16 through 22, Matthew's account of the story of Jesus counseling the rich young ruler, Jesus knew this young man's heart, and he knew what he lacked. That young man said he had kept all the commandments, but he refused to humble himself, and his material possessions came before his obedience. He chose to do things his way. Then we can read in verse 23, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." In Acts 26, verse 28, King Agrippa was almost persuaded by Paul. However, he chose his way and would not obey and follow the gospel of Jesus. Now, as we can see, there are many references of people that did things their way. In every instance, their way did not turn out well. There will be many souls that burn for failure to obey. Nowhere in the scriptures is there ever an account where God compromises on one of his commandments. He has always, and he always will, expect us to obey his will. He is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34, and again in Romans 2:11. So who are we as a people to think that whatever we do is okay with the Lord? It matters in our worship. It matters in our lives. Leviticus 19:37, "You shall thus observe all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. I am the Lord." Now, I've made a lot of Old Testament references, but I did that because God has not changed. He has always been very clear on what he wants for us. He's clear in the New Testament as well. It matters in our lives as to what he expects from us, concerning how we conduct ourselves and how we treat other people, how we treat him. We are to be representatives and reflections of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Personally, if I'm being truthful, I fail in this far too often in this area of my life. In Mark 12, 29 through 30, we can read Mark's account of Jesus answering one of the scribes that was trying to trap him. The scribe asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" In verse 29, Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'" And then in verse 31, Mark's accounts of Jesus' word, "The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" So we're to put God first and our fellow man second. When we take time to examine the scriptures, this kind of leaves no room to do it my way. So doing it my way, I think we can all see, is not what God intends for us to do. In contrast, let's take a moment to examine some scriptures and see some examples of people who did it his way. The first that comes to my mind happens to be one of my favorite books of the Bible, and it's the story of Job. Job was a faithful servant of God, and God allowed Satan to put Job to the test. Job never faltered, and he went through a lot of things that were pretty unbearable. Lost his family, lost all his material possessions. But by being faithful, Job received back double from what he had in the beginning. More importantly, God also blessed Job in spirit. In Acts 9, we can read about the conversion of Saul, who had been a persecutor of Christians and therefore Christ. When Jesus appeared to Saul, he had a decision to make. He could do things his way or as instructed by the Lord. Saul chose to obey the Lord. And after being baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, the Lord chose him to write the majority of the New Testament. He preached a lot of what we have to read. Paul wrote it. The Lord chose to use him. He changed his name to Paul from Saul. I would say that this conversion is probably one of the more dramatic of all of the examples. If Jesus serves as an advocate for Paul, who had been a persecutor and murderer of Christians, then that should give everyone here hope and assurance that he will do the same for us if we are obedient. As I mentioned earlier, I talked about the sin of King David and all he risked by doing the things his way and sinning against God. In Acts 13:22, Paul describes David as a man after God's own heart. How can that be? I also spoke about Paul and his conversion from being murdering Christians and persecuting Christians to becoming an apostle. Now, what do these two men have in common? The things that they have in common, this can tell us about God, his grace, and his mercy. Now, while we can do an in-depth study on both individuals, and we can do an in-depth study on each of the topics that I'm going to list here, I just want to point them out for sake of time this morning. First, they both had and exhibited a very deep faith. Second, they both trusted God without question. Third, they both loved God. Fourth, they were both humble, and they exercised humility. Five, they both admitted their wrongdoing, and therefore they showed their integrity. Six, forgiveness. They repented of the sins that they had committed. And seven, their worship. They had a deep reverence for God. Now, these characteristics are common to both men, and they're accepted by God's grace because they were obedient. And they were forgiven for their sins. They admitted to it and repented from them. Now, I'd like to share another example, and that's the example of Jesus. There's not a greater example than what he provided for us. But Jesus himself didn't even do things his way. In John 5:30, Jesus said, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, this is the Savior of the world providing an example for us. In John 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." And then again in Luke 22:42, Jesus saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." you know, David pointed out this morning, you know, it's really hard to wrap our heads around just how much Christ loves us. The things that he went through, the sacrifice that he made, the time that we take each and every week to observe his sacrifice and remember him. Jesus is our ultimate example of how we are to humble ourselves before the Lord God. He is our example of how we are to treat others, to serve others, and to love others. I know in my life I've fallen short way too many times to count. I've tried too many times to do it my way. I lived many wasted years, lost and separated from him, thinking I could do it my way. Never turned out as good as it could have, if it turned out good at all. I thought then I knew who Jesus was and is. But I found out the more that I read and study, I gain a better understanding of who he is and what he does and has done for us. However, I don't know if I'll ever grasp his level of grace, love, and compassion that he has for those who obey him. I never want to find out the horrors of those that don't obey and what they'll experience for eternity. I can assure you this, you don't want to spend 1 minute there, much less eternity. Regardless of what the world says, we must forget our way and submit to his will and not our own. You may find yourself, if you're a Christian, you may have found that you've lost your way. You may be experiencing times where the ways of the world have crept in and convinced you that your way is better than his. As you examine yourself, if you find that you need the prayers of this church, if you have areas that you need to repent of, areas that you may have failed, you can come forward. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Or you may be someone like I was, walking through life lost, thinking that I can do it my way, having not accepted Jesus. I can assure you that path leads to destruction. All you have to do is come forward, repent, publicly confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and we can baptize you for the remission of your sins, and your life can start over. Bobby talked about that this morning. Don't wait too late. The end is near. Don't meet the Lord and say, I did it my way. If you have a need this morning, all you have to do is come forward. Come forward as we stand and sing.
Jesus said, come for he loves you so. Only a step, come for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus the crucified open for you the pearly gate. Loved once for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I call to thee. only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified.
If you're using your songbook, turn with me to number 957. 957. We'll sing the first stanza of this one. We'll be dismissed in prayer.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.